two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, today's getting crazy. We've got the Pac-12 apparently ready to implode. We've got Kevin Durant asking for a trade. And, oh, the Jazz just picked up a first-round pick as Royce O'Neal on his way to Brooklyn in exchange for a 2023 pick. So let's chat some NBA. Kurt Helin, always kind enough to join us. We usually don't see this amount of fireworks on a day you join us, Kurt, but we're happy to have you. How are you?
A little stressed. Things have got a little chaotic. Yeah, and this was before. I'm like, it's been kind of a slow morning. I think I'll go to the gym. And I'm sitting there on the rowing machine and like, and so much for the workout. We'll be getting back to the house.
That was my excuse as well.
Hey, Kurt, if you have an emergency hit, feel free to let us know because we've got a million other things. It was cracking me up because earlier today we're like, you know, maybe we give Kurt a break and we talk about this Pac-12 thing, and then all of a sudden the Royce O'Neal thing is like, oh man, Kurt's the perfect guy to have on for this. So we're glad to have you. But let's start with this, Kurt. Getting a first round pick in the 2023 draft in exchange for Royce O'Neal, it helps the Jazz financially, correct? And can the Jazz package that pick for a bigger move?
Yes. In fact, I think that was largely the expectation, that this pick was part of a package, or would be flipped and used as part. They needed trade assets. If you're sending out Gobert or however you're working this, you're going to have to send other players. Royce O'Neal was the kind of wing defender Brooklyn needed. Right now, everything's off the table. And you now, as the Jazz, I don't know. I haven't looked yet. I don't know what the protections are on that pick. You got to rethink that. That pick could be, it depends on what the protections are, you know, what they are. It's not like the biggest winner in the last hour might have been the Houston Rockets, who have a boatload of unprotected Brooklyn picks coming up from the heart, like everything.
Wow.
Like it's, they've got swaps and unprotected picks coming up like mad, and it's going to leave. The Nets are a mess, right? Like they're everything's on the table now. Kyrie Irving's available. Everybody on the roster. Joe Harris, Seth Curry, the whole thing. So it's actually a good time to make a deal with them because that pick got more valuable. If probably depends on what the protections are, and it sets up better for that. The plan was always, I thought, to trade that as part of future assets to retool this team, you know, either around Rudy and Donovan, or just around Donovan, or however it was going to shake out.
So, all right. So I need you. We're going to get kind of knee deep into some collective bargaining agreement and luxury tax rules here. So if I'm going to walk through this scenario here and you tell me if this is viable, because our Ben Anderson, who is a Jazz beat writer for KSL Sports, hosts a show, is reporting that because of the Royce O'Neal trade, the Jazz are now under the luxury tax. Now that that gets set in stone tonight, correct, at the end of the league year?
Correct. I would believe that would put them under the luxury tax for this year, correct?
For this year. Right.
So it means they're not only are they not paying, but they will get a small piece of the tax money that comes in. It's a financial move. Yeah.
They'll get Golden State's money essentially. But
Golden State, Brooklyn, a few teams are paying. I mean, that's part of the fun in Brooklyn. Joe Tsai was not happy to get bounced in the first round for they paid about $100 million in luxury tax payments. And reportedly Nets lost about $100 million. So that was part of his frustration and their reasoning for kind of just drawing a harder line and trying to get their culture back. And look how that worked. So they're getting their culture back. They set this thing up however they want now.
So hypothetically, the Jazz pull the Royce O'Neal trade off today, save money on the luxury tax, don't pay a luxury tax bill, get luxury tax money, and then let's say tomorrow they can ship that that pick off that they got from Brooklyn with Rudy Gobert, whoever, to make a trade work. In the span of 24 hours, the Jazz can be under the luxury tax and then use that asset for a trade in the next day or two after.
Correct. They can flip. It's a pick. They can flip that thing before it's executed. But yeah, as soon as they can, they can flip that pick into whatever they want to flip it into.
All right. I want you to help me understand this. Adrian Wojnarowski just sending out a follow-up tweet after announcing that Royce O'Neal to the Nets for the 2023 first-round pick, followed up with Brooklyn is sending the lesser of their own, Houston or Philadelphia's 23 first-round pick, sources tell ESPN. Help us kind of understand that tweet.
Brooklyn has a series of, as I said, they have a series of first-round picks, and you're going to get the worst of them, which in theory would have been Brooklyn's an hour ago. Right now, it's my guess, just off that list, and I don't know if it again, off the top of my head without seeing it, my guess is it's Philadelphia's, that you'd get Philadelphia, that this will transfer as Philadelphia's first-round pick, which, you know, the Sixers are pretty good. Like, that Joel Embiid guy can still play basketball. Mm-hmm. They're retooling around Harden, so that's probably in the 20s somewhere. It is not going to get you Victor Wembanyama, or I believe I'm pronouncing that right, or anybody at the top, but it's still a first-round pick in a spot of value. Like, there's still going to be players that you like there, and it's still a first-round pick that can be traded. So,
Kurt Helin joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. There's a kind of a vibe around here that the Rudy Gobert thing might happen and might happen here very soon. Are you feeling that across the NBA landscape?
I got a feeling. And look, I don't know that it's going to be one of those things that happens right when, you know, like 3 o'clock, this is 4 o'clock, I guess, your time today. When free agency opens, a few things will fall right into place really quickly. Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine, some of the stuff we know. I get a feeling it's a little farther out, but I think that what's going to happen is that teams that were, you know, the Bulls are the interesting one. That's always been a big target, but I think teams that had the idea that they could go after Ayton or were going to go after a center somewhere else are shifting their focus and may come after Gobert. And of course, guys, there's no tampering, so this has not been discussed between the teams yet. But my guess is guess is it comes together fairly quickly. I think that there's, again, and I think them going and getting this first-round pick for Royce O'Neal, again, it does save money. But, you know, look, Royce O'Neal's a valuable player. You don't give him up for a first to get trade assets unless you think you need that to do the next step, which is probably Gobert and that pick and whatever else, whatever other trade assets they need to put together, whether that deal is with Atlanta or Chicago, or I think Charlotte's a long shot at this point. They just drafted Mark Williams, who I think is going to be their, not Mark Williams, Williams out of Duke. I think they're set there, but it'll be interesting to see. My guess is that was the first domino of a series of dominoes.
Kurt, I feel ridiculous bringing up old news, what feels like old news, really old news, but the Utah Jazz have a new head coach, Will Hardy. It's just a lot's happened since then with everything that's going on. But I wanted to get your thoughts on what you know of Coach Hardy and what the Utah Jazz fans can expect.
Look, the pedigree is as good as it gets. I mean, he is a favorite of Popovich's, to the point that Pop had him on Team USA as an assistant coach out there with, as part of the staff, along with, I think it was Steve Kerr and Monty Williams, and what, you know, that's a heck of a staff they had put together. I'm sorry, I got distracted for half a second. This is a good hire. He's young. He's somebody who players seem to like and relate to a little bit. He's also young, and I think this is true, man, whether we're talking about basketball or college football or pro football, whatever. Head coach is such a different job than assistant coach that you don't know until the guy does it, right? Like, you're more of a CEO. You're more setting a tone and guiding. You're not hands-on coaching the same way you do as an assistant. So Popovich loves the way he breaks down film. That is supposedly one of the things Popovich praised him about, and it has praised him in the past about, is how they think alike, how Hardy thinks the way Popovich does about the game. And I mean, he's a guy who came out of their film room. So it's a promising sign. I think that looking ahead, this is the kind of smart hire to make in terms of if he works out, if he can do this job, he can be with the Jazz for a very long time and help set a long-term culture, which is always what the Jazz have wanted. It's obviously what they had for so long with Jerry Sloan, and I think every team would like to get there, and hiring a good young coach is a big step.
So the Kevin Durant news, Kyrie Irving opts back in, Kevin Durant wants out. Is there something in that relationship, or is KD just done dealing with that nonsense back there? Like, what do you think was the tour, the thing that may have triggered KD into saying, look, I don't want to be here anymore?
I think it comes back to the Kyrie Irving situation. I think this is about, look, they played hardball with Kyrie, and they're demanding accountability. They wanted, when they brought those guys in, they turned the culture over to their stars. They had built up this team with Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert and Jared Allen and hard work. I mean, remember, they had they're going to be back in this spot. They had no picks, right? They were scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to find guys they could develop. Kenny Atkinson did a great job. Once they brought in those stars, they catered to them. They thought that this was that it would be additive, and it got away from them. It didn't work out that way. They've come back in a little hard, and I think Kevin Durant's like, you know what? This isn't where I want to be. This isn't what I signed up for. I want out. Kyrie is obviously in the last year of his deal, and it looks like he'll go. It's going to get in. By the way, it gets interesting. I never thought the Westbrook trade was possible because nobody wants to take on Russell Westbrook if you're trying to win. But if you're not trying to win, that's a $47 million expiring contract. So all sorts of things get interesting. But I think that that's what triggered it. Ultimately, the Nets came in and said, no, we're going to try to put this thing back the way, we're going to try to build our culture back. And the stars that have been catered to want out of it. And that's, by the way, something to consider if you're one of the teams taking him on. I think Kevin Durant can fit in, but you've got to have a strong culture somewhere. The Warriors had that, right? That was Steph Curry's culture. They were established. Durant wasn't necessarily always thrilled with it, but he fit in. Miami has come up as a team. Phoenix has come up as a team. Phoenix has established a culture under Monty Williams the last couple of years that I think can survive. You know, I think can be strong enough to withstand Kevin Durant. Miami certainly can. They have LeBron, like they had peak LeBron. Like I think it has to be a situation like that. If you put him in back in another situation where he has so much sway in the organization, it's I don't know that works.
Free agency is a big deal. I'm hoping the Utah Jazz can find some pieces that could possibly help them. And Kurt, I want kind of a perspective from you on how healthy the Utah Jazz currently look with their new head coach, their new front office with Fizdell and Danny Ainge. I know you're still looking at Donovan and Rudy, but I would imagine a lot of people are probably expecting that breaks up more towards Rudy's way than Donovan's. How healthy does the organization look to some of the bigger named, very helpful free agents and maybe their effort to want to come here and help push them over the top?
By the way, some Jazz fans are going to ask you about this. So the Kevin Durant thing, you put together an offer. I don't know if you get him, but remember, Durant doesn't have leverage here. He's got 4 years left on his deal. This isn't Kyrie actually has more leverage, right? It's an expiring contract because he's going to have to re-sign wherever he goes. And so that gives him leverage. Durant allegedly gave them a list. That's nice. If the Sacramento Kings put together good enough, they can't. But if and they're the Sacramento Kings. But if the Kings put together the best offer, you can go with it. So the Jazz should, by the way, be trying to at least – you kick the tires, man. You at least try. That said, I think they're not in a bad – look, I think that this is an organization – people like Donovan Mitchell. He's a good guy. Guys like playing with Donovan. I think there's a sense that this team isn't that far away. New ownership that's young and energetic and apparently willing to spend. I mean, I know they got under the tax today, but that was just smart. I think that they're in a good spot, and it's really – it'll be interesting to see how this offseason shakes out. What is this – if they trade Rudy, what comes back? What does this roster look like, and how is it? How does it play out next year? Because I think if you do that, then this is – you know – People are clamoring all over themselves to get to Milwaukee to go win with, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I've been to Milwaukee. It's not the most thrilling. I mean, if you like brats, it's great. But you know, it's like people will go where they, you know, players will want to go where they. I mean, money matters, but players will go where they want, where they think they can win, where they think that they have a chance to have a good experience. And I think culturally they have that, you know, in the sense of like the franchise culture kind of has that so far. And as long as Donovan's there, I think you can draw guys. So I think they're in a pretty good spot. And by the way, you forget, it really helps to have a guy like a vocal guy like Dwayne Wade. It's nice to have Ryan Smith and his money. Having Dwayne Wade as his face to players really helps.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Never a dull moment, my friend. Always something popping. Should be a lot of fun. These next 48 hours are going to get crazy for sure. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
All right. There you go, Kurt Helan. Okay, this is one thing I want to get across, and I wanted to verify with Kurt, is so there were a lot of big things that happened here with this Royce O'Neal trade. This just wasn't a simple Royce O'Neal for a first-round pick. The Jazz, essentially, what they did today, because the league year ends today. So that means you close your books, and where you're at salary cap-wise or salary-wise is where you're going to be in terms of where you're at against salary cap, where you're going to be against the luxury tax. So the Jazz today got under the luxury tax. I wouldn't anticipate there'll be any official moves today by the Utah Jazz because they want to wait until the end of the day. And I think it's somewhere early afternoon here, Salt Lake City. So I think 2 or 3 o'clock is when the league year ends. What that means is that the Jazz will be under the luxury tax. That means a few things. Number one, it keeps you out of repeater danger. It also, and that's why we talked about luxury tax earlier in the show, because I felt like they were going to have to do something to get under the luxury tax, and the Royce O'Neal thing makes worse. Makes sense. So you're under the luxury tax. You you're not paying a luxury tax bill this year, keeps you out of repeater danger, and you get to take in the money that the luxury tax payers have to pay. So what the luxury tax does, those that are over the luxury tax pay into a big pool, and then those that are under the luxury tax, they get a good chunk of that money. Some of it goes back to the league, but a lot of it gets distributed evenly among teams that are under the luxury tax. So the Jazz not only saved money, but they earned a nice little paycheck from those like Brooklyn and like Golden State that are over the luxury tax. Now the Jazz, at the end of today, can then take that first-round pick tomorrow or even later tonight and use that pick as a trade asset. So this trade essentially saved and earned the Jazz a ton of money today and then can be used as early as later tonight or tomorrow to facilitate a trade that is part of a bigger package, Rudy Gobert, whatever you want to say. But this was as brilliant of a move as the Jazz were able to make at the deadline to make something like this happen.
And a lot of people are wondering why or how Brooklyn was able to absorb that Royce O'Neal contract without giving a financial obligation back to the Utah Jazz, and that's because they use a trade exception. So they're able to put Royce O'Neal's contract into that trade exception without returning financial obligation back to the Utah Jazz. That's how the Jazz are able to avoid that money to get themselves under that tax. So you could tell that that was important to the organization. I don't think that that hurts them. This pick, essentially, and if you're listening to Kurt Helin, I asked Kurt what this means in the grand scheme of the Brooklyn Nets picks. Kurt said that this really is going to probably filter down to the Philadelphia 76ers pick, which means it's probably going to be somewhere in the 20s because Joel is not going to go anywhere and Philadelphia is going to be good. So it's going to be a good first-round pick. You know, it's a first-round pick. It's going to be a good first-round pick, but it's not a luxury pick. This is not a top 14 pick. You're not in the lottery at this point.
Yeah.
So it's a good pick and it's a good asset, but it is not a lottery pick.
No. All right. Katie's hanging out with us on one of the craziest days of sports radio that you'll ever be a part of. Who says nothing happens in June and July?
Everything happens in June and July.
Including a lot of great listeners coming away with all kinds of gear today on the Homie Locker Room Raid.
Exactly. We have been doing this for, this is our third year, and every year I feel like it just gets better and better. So at Homie, our motto is, we've got your back. And we've got your back so much that we've given back over $133 million in commissions. And we wanted to find a way to find out how to promote those who are giving back to their community. And we wanted to promote kids who are giving back out to their community. And so we have kids who have helped with the Hope Squad at their local schools, helping with suicide prevention, helping make sure that others feel included, helping with bullying, helping with starting up different clubs and different activities to help raise awareness for different things. We have kids who have helped gather food for the food bank during COVID, gathering warm coats for those in their area. There's so many stories of such incredible children that we have in our community that really have empowered their community to make sure that they have their communities back. And it's been wonderful to be able to support those kids and highlight those kids and see them come and grab all the Jazz gear today. It's been a really amazing day.
Well, it's fun, and I'm sure we've got this for years to come, and people can be involved with this, and I'm sure you guys will always be thinking about new creative ways to be able to give those opportunities to so many different people. And in the meantime, Katie, real estate wage is on, and people need to buy homes. They still need a place. You know, I know that we are still below on inventory. We don't have enough homes to meet the demand of buyers. Even though we're seeing interest rates shift and we're seeing things shift in real estate, there are still a lot of buyers out there in need of homes, and things might be getting a little bit better for those buyers, right, Katie?
100%. Things are getting better for buyers to be able to get into homes and not have to outbid so many different people. We've been seeing a lot more inventory on the market. In fact, we've seen inventory. We haven't seen these numbers since 2019. So we're really excited to see some of this market shifting and getting more buyers into homes. Now more than ever, it's important to have an agent that's going to be there to help guide you through the process. And when you download the Homie app and you're searching through homes and you finally find that home you want to go to take a tour of, click take a tour. One of our agents is going to meet you, walk you through the whole process, be there with you every step of the way through negotiations, making sure you're putting in the right offer, getting you through the home, having you help. We have title, we have insurance, we have loans. We're going to be able to help you through the whole process. And because we have everything under one roof, we're able to keep our fees down and we're able to help save you money. Who can help save you money when buying a home? Not many people can say that they've saved money when buying.
Go to Homie.com for more information on that. That's Homie.com for more information. Again, so many great opportunities. Buy, sell, whatever you're looking to do. Homie can take care of that for you. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The NBA draft was filled with excitement and intrigue for the Utah Jazz.
Boring.
Okay, well, maybe the draft was a dud. But hey, the offseason is just getting started.
Everybody better brace themselves
for all the latest insight and analysis on the Utah Jazz. Keep it locked on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
On the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. A little mea culpa on my part. So, by the way, the Jazz are also waving forward Juancho Hernan Gomez, the movie star, is no more. All right, so I screwed up. That's why I kind of, and I'm not throwing Kurt under the bus, that's why I kind of wanted to verify with Kurt. But the luxury tax conversation that we had with Kurt Heelan apparently is a little incorrect. So your luxury tax bill is based on your roster at the final game of the regular season. So that roster you have on the final game of the regular season, that, my friends, is your luxury tax bill. So the Jazz are still in the luxury tax based on their roster at the end of the regular season, not on where you're at the end of the fiscal year of June 30th. So the Jazz will still be in the luxury tax. They're still in repeater danger. So that still is very much in play. Now they can still use that pick as an asset going forward. So that's mea culpa. That's my bad.
Understandable. I mean, trying to figure out all these money things. There's so many different clauses and things to pay attention to. And, you know, the way things are so fevered right now is you just kind of, you know, I'm not saying nonchalantly mentioned, but because of the situation, but Juancho Hernan Gomez being waived, it's not a big surprise, but,
yeah,
you know, that makes you wonder, okay, well, what's the impact there? Because them waiving Juancho, does that affect their dollar and cents at the back end of the calendar, the NBA calendar year, or how does that work? You know, but we kind of saw the writing on the wall when they didn't extend to Juancho. We kind of knew this was going to be the case, right?
Yeah. So no big surprise there. But so again, let me clarify this because I gave you some bad information there at the end of the season or at the end of that segment. The luxury tax bill is not based on where you're at on June 30th. It's based on where you're at the end of the regular season. So the Jazz, yes, are in the luxury tax. Yes, are still in repeater danger. So again, there you go. That's on me. I should have. I asked Kurt about it because I wanted to verify that with him, but I should have done a little bit more research before spitting that out. So with that, let's get to it. Number 45 in the top 60 and 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This
is the Top 60 in 60 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan.
Another Ute checks in on the countdown as we focus on a wide receiver that the Utes hope is ready to make the next step to becoming a dynamic force for the Utah offense. At number 45, from the University of Utah, 5'9", 165-pound wide receiver, Jalen Dixon.
University of Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham.
Jalen Dixon, deep threat, able to take the top off the coverage, outstanding speed, 10-300-meter guy out of high school, and really is a guy that can stretch the field vertically.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
All right, there you go. Top 60 and 60 coming in at number 45, hands Jalen Dixon, wide receiver from the University of Utah, as another Ute comes off the board.
Just sending out the film review on it. I've got two different films on him. The first film that I'm sending out is showing him on his end rounds. So if you remember, you've got to go back. This boy, what a – geez. It's so funny. I'm conflicted. Do we spend time on Jalen Dixon or do we announce and move on?
Real quick.
Okay. Jalen Dixon is a long story with the University of Utah. Back in 2019, he was putting up big numbers, huge numbers. 2020, he was doing his thing. Felt like he wasn't, there was some personal issues. There were some things. Entered into the transfer portal, and it was kind of like, oh, now what? He comes back in 21, and his responsibilities were reduced. They were mitigated a bit, and Utah moved in a different direction. Now, since then, there's been some healing. Since then, Jalen, you know, Britton Covey leaves, yeah. Jalen Dixon becomes the guy, and he is very capable. You know, this end around that I'm sending out, it goes for a touchdown against Arizona, and it just shows his speed. He just flat out outruns every single defender.
You got two guys there that look like they had the angle on him.
Exactly, Scotty mentioned. You got two guys that had the angle on him, and he just outruns them. So Jalen Dixon gives you that, and then Jalen Dixon gives you the over-the-top threat. So you got end around, you've got great comeback ability, he's a shifty receiver, and he's also going to have to take on the responsibility that Britton Covey's leaving on the table.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's Britton Covey. He doesn't have that kind of magic, but he does have an incredible ability to make big plays. So Jalen Dixon, very much deserving of the number 45 place in our 60 and 60.
So there you go. Top 60 and 60, 45, Jalen Dixon. It'll be interesting to see what his numbers look like at the end of the season and if they continue to use him in some creative ways with that speed, for sure.
Well, he gives you a lot of options on the offensive side of the ball, Scotty.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sending out this next bit of film, and it shows him on a different jumbo set end around. Basically, it's a stack set empty backfield, yeah. and they hit him off the H-back movement. And I know you can close your eyes and you can picture Utah in this set. They've got the two wing set. Jalen is lined up, just disconnected from the tight end that's lined up outside the offensive tackle. He shifts in motion off the step. Takes the ball from this goes back to Tyler Huntley, because I really had to go back to 2019 to get his proper usage. And comes on that end around. Look, this is versatility. It opens up the playbook for Andy Ludwig. Because of his usage last year and because of the transfer portal thing, I understand number 45, he will be a re-ranked top 30 at the end of the season.
Whew.
He'll be a re-ranked top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus you get, you know, the offensive line and stability a quarterback with is something that the Utes haven't had. I mean, they've had great offensive linemen, but having a player of the caliber, a quarterback that Cam Rising can bring and the expectations that he has, yeah. Yeah, this could be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Normally we do good, the bad, the ugly here. But again, it's just a big day with so many storylines. We have not gotten back to the Pac-12. And our good buddy Nate Dowdle just came by and asked us what the biggest story of the day was. And frankly, it's still the Pac-12. I mean, I know the Jazz are wheeling and dealing right now, and who knows what else that could be coming down the pipeline. But honestly, at this point, you're looking at the Jazz in a situation, or excuse me, the Pac-12 in a situation right now where it might be an old-fashioned brawl between them and the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at what Oregon wants to do. It could be as simple as Oregon saying, look, we like our regional rivalries here. We like what we're doing here. And let's find a way to make this work and go out and get. And they are part of the recruiting process and trying to recruit other teams from maybe the Big 12 to join the Pac-12. But if somebody comes to Oregon and says, hey, look, we want you to join, then guess what? You're in trouble. This Pac-12 is in a lot of trouble.
It can be in a lot of trouble. And, you know, USC and UCLA isn't quite the equivalent of Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12. It's not quite, but it's about as close as you can get.
Yeah.
You know, if this was USC and Oregon, it's like, nope, close the book and let's move on and figure things out. But I think that this is a direct indicator of what the college football landscape is doing and what it's going to look like. This is no longer going to be your mama's Mountain West Conference. It's no longer going to be your mama's Pac-12 and your mama's Power 5 and your mama's Group of 5. Everything is going to be changed. 2024, 2025, everything is going to look dramatically different. And all these things that we're seeing are just indicators of that. You know, the move of Texas and Oklahoma was just a smaller story of what's going to be the bigger picture of the college football landscape. USC, UCLA leaving the Pac-12. It's just an indicator. So what I want to tell people is don't get all panicky. There's still going to be college football. There's going to still be great football here in the state. I'd be shocked if Utah is on the outside looking in. 64 teams, that still gives you a lot of area to make sure that you're sitting at the big kids' table. You know, it gives you area that BYU could be still sitting at the big kids' table in 24, 25. But what this tells us is we're just moving things along
yeah.
a lot faster than we thought that they were going to move along.
Today's probably not the day, but you and I probably should, in an upcoming show, go through your Power 5 teams and determine the 64 teams.
Yeah.
And just make our way from east to west.
I would say 25 to 30 of them are very obvious.
Yes.
I would say another 10 are highly probable. I'd say anything after that, like 45 or so, I think that you've got a lot of arguing and bickering to find yourself at that big kid's table.
Yep.
And I think that Utah makes as convincing an argument as anybody. Look at what they've done with the Pac-12 money. Look at the facilities. Look at the management. You don't hear the rumors coming out of their organization of, oh, boy, we are in financial crisis. Cal, financial crisis. UCLA, I think, is in a financial crisis. I think UCLA works in the red, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they're in the black. I think UCLA's.
Oh, yeah.
I think UCLA's got financial problems, yeah. which really have led to their final decision. Scotty, we are seeing numbers, and I get it. These are projected numbers, but we are seeing numbers from USC and UCLA in distribution upwards of $100 million a year. Adding USC and UCLA into an already powerful Big Ten conference that is distributing, you know, 50, 60 million could infuse the amount of money, interest, and excitement to then lead to TV negotiations that would lead to a distribution of over $100 million.
Yep.
And I made reference to the Live Tour on Twitter, essentially saying this is money.
Yeah.
All of this is money. Now, all of it is trying to rein in what all is happening with the NILs and the poor lack of management and oversight. You know, your committees aren't doing anything to manage anything. And as Scotty mentioned earlier in the show, when Nick Saban's upset about it, you know there's going to be change.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. It's no surprise. It's just surprise Because it's new, fresh news.
We all love our regional rivalries. We all like the history. We all love all this stuff, the pageantry of college football and the Pac-12 or whatever conference you're part of. But we all have our price. And that's the thing with this LIV tour. There are some people that have said no, but there's a lot that said, hey, you know what? I have a number. You guys hit my number, and let's go. And right now, you have UCLA and USC, which came off a dismal distribution from the Pac-12 coming off COVID. And they're like, we're not doing this anymore. We can't do this anymore. This isn't going to work for us. And they shopped themselves. According to sources, the Big Ten did not reach out to them. They reached out to the Big Ten. They're like, you want us? And they're like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, let's figure out how to get this moving forward. Don't panic. I'm going to tell people, don't panic. There's still a lot of negotiating, and there's still some time here. We are hearing from different sources on Twitter, different national personalities, that we could have a press conference from USC and UCLA as soon as later this evening. But they're saying within 24 hours, there's going to be an official announcement, and USC and UCLA are going to announce this move. So this has been done for some time, and officially or what people are saying is it's already official.
Yeah.
So Utah, this is not a surprise to Mark Harlan.
No.
This is not a surprise to the complete administration. I can tell you this, Scotty. It was not a surprise to anybody that I have had any conversations with today. It was not a surprise, but
Lloyd, you just want to read it? I don't have it in front of me.
I got you. So John Canzano, he's just got to put a story out. Said, did the rest of the Pac-12 know? And then he says, Oregon AD Rob Mullins had no prior indication that USC and UCLA were talking about leaving the Pac-12 for the Big Ten. Per a source, Mullins learned this morning, per the source.
Whew. I'd be surprised. I'd be shocked.
Well, you can't publicly say you knew,
no,
right?
No, not a chance. Otherwise, Oregon looks like he's got an egg on their face. Like, why? Wait a second. Well, why didn't they get in on this? Well, this is going to be a later move for these guys. This doesn't indicate that they're going to be on the outside. It just indicates that the big entities are coming together.
Yeah.
And they are going to figure something out.
All right, we're a break behind. We'll take a quick break, come back. We are live here at Vivint Arena. We'll talk to Katie coming up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The Utah Jazz have found their man. Will Hardy will be the next head coach of the Utah Jazz as the team turns the page on the next era of Jazz basketball. Ow! Keep it locked on the KSL Sports Zone for all the latest news as Will Hardy takes over the Jazz during the most dramatic offseason in team history. From all the latest trades to free agency, your exclusive home of the Utah Jazz is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm just looking at it. Have you seen Lane Kiffin's tweet?
I know exactly what you're laughing about. Did you see Shooter McGavin's tweet? I actually retweeted that one.
No.
Oh, I retweeted that one. It's everybody's taking their logo and putting it on KD's chest and saying, hey, come here. Shooter McGavin sent out a tweet. KD had Live Tour on his chest. And what are you seeing from Lane Kiffin?
Lane Kiffin just sent out the Kevin Durant tweet and said, "Hey, come to the SIP." That's what he's the king of the transfer portal too. So, mm-hmm. Lane can't help himself.
Yeah, just everybody having fun with Kevin Durant announcing that he is demanding a trade. So it sounds like everything in the NBA world is on hold until Kevin Durant makes his decision and makes his move. I think everybody would like to see where he's going. I think he probably caused a couple of free agent pieces to fall with him. But everybody seems to be holding. And I got to tell you, I would have never thought that the last week in June I'd be holding on to a whole world news story that we just didn't have time to get to.
We just can't get to whole world news, man.
No, and I've got the story, but the truth is, you know, as Scotty mentioned, Nate Dowdle stopped by and he was like, what are we looking at? Like, what is the biggest news story here? We could go with it. Royce O'Neal just being traded for a first-round pick. USC and UCLA announcing to leave college or leave the Pac-12. Like, there are too many things going on. It's like I mentioned to Kurt Heelan. I was like, Kurt, I hate to bring up old news, but Jazz
hired a coach.
Jazz have a new head coach. What do you think of him? It's impressive what's happening. And it makes it a lot of fun. But, Scotty, it also makes it busy for us.
Yeah. So if we were to do whole world news, it would have been brought to you, as always, you know, as an opportunity to, you know, try to look at what else is out there and, you know, have some fun. But, hey, there's no time for that here.
No time for that here.
So no messing around.
Yeah.
All right. No messing around here with Katie as well, because they're helping save you all kinds of money. And, Katie, appreciate you coming by. And the thing is, you guys save thousands and thousands of dollars for a lot of our listeners, and for some of our listeners as well. Not only have you saved them thousands, but you gave them a bunch of Jazz gear today, too, at the locker room right here at Vivint.
Yeah, for sure. We've got Jazz fans and Homie fans coming to the arena today, and we're cleaning out the lockers. Every year, the past 3 years, we've been doing this with our partnership with the Utah Jazz, and it's been an incredible experience every year. And I feel like every year we give out more and more gear, and we have just incredible stories that come from this day. So we had 17 of our incredible Jazz fan winners come, and this year it was kids who have given back in their community. And we've got some kids walking right behind us getting ready to head out with their bag full of gear, all their bags full of gear, being able to raid those lockers and get player-worn gear.
Look at that. Look at all that gear there.
Yeah,
Hans.
Look at that.
That is so fun.
Amazing. Thank you.
Is she one of the...
Yeah, she's one of our winners.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so just incredible, amazing stories that we've been able to see of kids giving back to their community and really having their each other's backs, and being able to see the faces on these kids and see the excitement and the joy has been amazing.
Katie, we talked about this. It feels like inventory is starting to settle and starting to build a little bit. It feels like people out there that have been trying to buy, and you're 20 offers deep, 30 offers deep? Are we still seeing, you know, up to 15, 20 offers on homes?
We're not seeing that many. We're seeing, like, we are still seeing some multiple offer situations. It's still happening. I mean, we have Homie Cash. We have Buy Before You Sell. So we do have tools if you're getting into that kind of situation. But we are seeing more and more homes, more and more opportunities for buyers to get in and to get into their dream home. All fear is not lost for hope's not lost for our sellers. You still have a ton of equity in your home. Your house price is still really appreciated, and we want to make sure we keep all that equity in your pocket. We want to keep the equity where it belongs. Never pay 6% commission.
No.
Make sure that you're keeping that equity, that hard-earned money. If you know you're not equity rich as you used to be, we have the ability to help save that equity and keep it in your pocket so you can have that for your next move.
So, by the way, Brett McMurphy said the USC-UCLA move to Big Ten should be completed by Friday, and Big Ten may not stop at 16. Big 12 may get aggressive and look to add Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. Sources were heading towards super conferences, that according to Brett McMurphy. So, could we see Utah and BYU in the same conference again? If I'm the Pac-12, I try to raid the Big 12. But it looks like the Big 12 also aiming their missiles towards the Pac-12 as well. So this is an old-fashioned Cold War going on right now.
Well, I think in the long run, it doesn't matter what the Big 12
By
does.
The way, go to homie.com.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
It's all crazy. I didn't mean to. But go to homie.com. This is just one of those days. But please, please, please go to homie.com.
Yeah, and make sure, whether you're buying or you're selling, if you're gonna sell a home, use promo code TheZone. Get you $500 off that $3,500 listing price. If you're buying, you get all the way up to 50% of those agent fees that are infused for that buying agent back into your pocket. So you're saving thousands of dollars. But, Scotty, I don't think it matters who pillages who, because I think when things shake out in 2024 or 2025, I just don't think it's going to be about these individual conferences.
Yeah.
Now, they can fight for it for the time being, but it just feels like a Band-Aid for what ultimately is going to be coming in college football.
Hands and Scotty, Ben Anderson is going to join us next. We'll talk a little Jazz with him. We'll also get back to the college football front. We'll chat college football with Ben as well. It's all straight ahead. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.